Canucks Central Monday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main side and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less. We are on the eve of signing season. Free agency is now less than 24 hours away.
How many moves can happen in 20 minutes or less? I think we got a preview of that between, what was it, 2 p.m. and 2:15 p.m. local time today.
Yeah. It was pretty wild and hectic.
Yeah. So if you're hanging out at Boston Pizza for 20 minutes, you can just scroll social media, listen to the radio, and next thing you know, you're going to see like four or five moves maybe.
Put your headphones in, get a nice little Boston Pizza lunch served in 20 minutes or less at $15, and you'd be good to go. There was a lot, you know. You had the Marchand, you had the Mitch Marner move, Aaron Ekblad signing. A lot happening in a short amount of time as teams continue to take pending UFAs off the board, which is Sat's favorite thing every single year.
Yeah. Do you know what did not happen?
What did not happen?
The Canucks did not make a move.
No. They made moves today.
Yes.
To lock up some of their Abbey Canucks contingent.
Would you say any of it is a tidy piece of business?
They were all tidy pieces of business.
You think so?
I guess so.
Now, I saw people mentioning that. I'm like, why? They're all like 1 or 2 year deals.
Can't believe they didn't give. They got such a discount on Atu Ratu. It's like, what? Yeah, I mean, across the board, they locked up their Abbey guys, which is good.
Yeah, reward the Abbey guys
that they had.
And by the way, maybe we should start the show, but by the way, you know, the coaching staff is coming back in Abbey, announced by Ryan Johnson on Halfrin and Brough today.
Oh, so all the the hubbub about that was a little too much as well.
I'm just be happy that they're still here, okay, Reach?
All right, it's time for the Open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Four! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest news, I mean, if we're being facts only about it, the latest news is we have a Canucks game on the schedule for this season.
We do.
Yeah.
September 21 in Seattle, Sunday night.
Seattle, Sunday night, September 21. Sunday, September 21. Six-game preseason schedule begins then for the Vancouver Canucks. They'll have a game in Abbotsford Center as well, and a couple of games at Rogers Arena with the fancy new seats. Cup holders, even, and a couple of other away games in Edmonton and Calgary as well.
Yeah, excited about that. And that means training camp probably begins, what, the 15th or 16th?
Yeah, that weekend, I guess, is usually when it does.
The testing on like the 16th, 17th, and then next thing you know, they're on the ice.
Pretty much. That'll be when the next Canucks game is. And what that lineup looks like, what the NHL roster look like, well, that's still developing.
Very much so.
As we mentioned, you know, a lot of names taken off the board again. Not that there was a lot anyways in unrestricted free agency, but Aaron Ekblad off the board, Brad Marchand off the board, Sam Bennett signed over the weekend. You had even some big time RFAs get their deals done, like Evan Bouchard, and it's just been a very busy day. Alexei Romanov as well. It's been a very busy day contractually for a lot of teams. But what does this mean for the Vancouver Canucks? Well, they haven't made a trade yet.
No.
Right? So they haven't added to their roster via trade outside of the Evander Kane move. And two, the top five remaining free agents are Brock Besser.
Yeah.
Okay. At Pew Suter,
yeah,
who's also a Vancouver. So two of the top five free agents were Vancouver Canucks.
Right.
Mikhail Granlund.
Yes.
Vladislav Gavrikov.
Uh-huh.
And Nick Ehlers.
Yes.
There's your top five.
Yeah. It's not the most enticing list of free agents, is it?
And the Canucks have $7 million to spend.
Yeah. They can't even keep the two free agents that they have that are Vancouver rights without or Vancouver players without moving somebody off the roster. So,
is this
a tricky spot for the Vancouver Canucks?
Are we in? There's so much right now, right? Are we in circle back season? Are they circling back on Brock Besser and Pugh Suter? Are they going with the desperation route of throwing a Hail Mary contract at Mikael Granlund to solve their second line center issue? Are they going to make a trade? It seems like the lowest part, or the thing I expect the least out of this management group, who has said it from the top of Grouse Mountain about 1,000 times. We want to be aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So my expectation has always been they're not going to do what's probably the most prudent thing and keep the powder dry and see what shakes loose and comes to them at a reasonable cost. It feels like if they're going to be aggressive, they're going to make a big move on one of these pieces.
So based on some conversations I had this morning, the Canucks, as much as they have been aggressive, and they remain aggressive, and we'll get to that coming up in a second, just as you alluded to, but that they have also...
They're aggressively ineffectual.
Yeah, but also, I think there's a realization that you might be forced into waiting.
Yes.
You might be forced into the, let's see what shakes loose once a few free agents sign. For instance, now with the Florida Panthers, now that they are on the verge of signing Brad Marchand in addition to Aaron Ekblad plus Sam Bennett, you have to move somebody out to make the roster work.
Have to move somebody out.
And the most likely candidate seems to be Evan Rodriguez.
Mm.
Now, it could be somebody else.
Yep.
Do you trade Mikola, maybe making 2.5 on the back end, Lusterainen? I doubt they're moving any of those two guys.
Mm.
So we'll see what happens. But do you look at that as a potential situation? Now we see what else. Let's say Dallas does make space to sign Granlund.
Yeah.
Does somebody else become available? I think they realize they have to wait for some of those things to develop the next little while. But you have Brock Besser, you have Pugh Suter, and Mikael Granlund, as you mentioned, a player that the Canucks are rumored to be after when free agency opens tomorrow. But the thing is, there are a number of teams after Granlund.
Mm.
And it might take $30 million plus to sign
Mikael
Granlund, who's 30 years old. And he has 60-plus points in 3 of the last 4 years' reach.
I'm like taken aback at the idea of $30 million for Mikael Granlund.
Well, you want to give Pugh Suter like $40
million. I do not. Okay.
But no, I know he is. You said over 18 million. I'm just kidding.
I said he is going to get more than 4.5.
Yes. Okay.
And it shouldn't be from the Canucks, but he's going to get more than 4.5.
What? So if you think Pugh Suter is going to get 4.5, well, a guy who has been a far better, more stable contributor and a far more consistent center, producing even more, even though he's a few years older, is going to get more than what Pugh Suter is going to get. Right.
He's 33.
Yeah, but Brad Marchand's 37 and got 6 years. The market looks stupid nowadays. You've been making this point, right? Like, don't argue against yourself now, Reach. But my point being, Granlund's market might be insane. So even if the Canucks offer him, let's say the Canucks offered him $5-6 million per year over 5 years, which seems nuts, right?
He might signing Mikael Granlund until he's 38. That's what we're advocating
39,
for.
39 or
oh
38.
My goodness.
Oh, he might be 39 by then. I'm not advocating for it. I'm saying
okay. That
might not even get it done. You
right.
might put that in front of him. He might say no because he might get it somewhere else or more somewhere else. That's how ridiculous it's getting. So are the Canucks willing to go that far and beyond to sign Granlund potentially? Do you just give the extra year to Brock Besser? Has that ship sailed, do you think, Brock Besser?
It feels like the ship has sailed.
So it feels like the ship has sailed.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's landed on another shore yet. So I think there is time, if you put good money in front of him, that you can turn it around. Like, I think there might be just enough time. Like,
okay,
he's just about to come to port, right? Like, he's just about to come to port somewhere else. But if you put enough money, you can always change somebody's mind. And then it's Pugh Suter. To your point, what if they have to offer him 4.5 over 5? Right? Or something ridiculous to keep him. Are they going to do one of those three things? Because that's what's available to them right now.
Yeah.
Potentially. Within the next 24 hours, you can do one of those three things. You have enough cap space to potentially do one of those three things. If you want Granlund to go 6x6, you could.
Mm-hmm.
It seems you're probably not going to do it, but I'm saying if you want to go that far, you could always win the bidding. And these are three players the Canucks are interested in. Do they take the leap with one after missing out on anybody else? Can they keep their powder dry, Reach, and get through the next 24 hours not overcommitting to one of those three players?
You're telling me after all these years, the Canucks might just return to having a sea of Granlunds on their roster?
Well, this one's a different Granlund. It's not fair to this Granlund.
It's still a Granlund.
I think this is a guilt by association.
Kidding aside.
Yeah.
I would be more impressed if the Canucks kept their powder dry and just waited on a guy like Evan Rodriguez, saw what might come, if anything, comes loose from the Vegas Golden Knights, who are about to get Mitch Marner, see if other teams, whether it's the New York Rangers or somebody else, spends too much money in this terrible free agents class and has to make another move cap-wise. That's what I would be more impressed by the Canucks doing, because I don't see Mikael Granlund changing their outcomes in a great way next year. To be frank, I don't even know if Brock Besser changes their outcomes in a big way going into next season. But it at least helps them in the sense of, okay, we continue our search for a center and we still have some wingers to help said center when we eventually fill out that roster spot when it might come available. Those things I can more understand, but you're probably better off keeping your powder dry, keeping assets available to you, keeping some level of cap space available to you in hopes that something does shake loose eventually. Because the team is built on goaltending and defense, especially with the rumored reports of Thatcher Demko getting an extension done, which we'll get to in a minute. Your foundation doesn't change. And I don't think any of the players we're talking about right now change your outcomes significantly. Like, I would have preferred the Marco Rossi trade because at least I see upside, I see potential. Yeah. Signing Suter, signing Besser, signing Granlund. Like, I think all of those players have had their best years of their careers already.
So would you have rather give it up Philander to get Rossi then?
I would not.
And this is where the Canucks find. And here's
this is why you need to stay patient.
Right. Well, here's the other part.
Stop
of it.
Telling everybody in the league you want a second line center. You want to be super aggressive about it.
It hasn't really helped, has it? But at the end of the day, it's not the try hard league. It's the get it done league. We were talking about this over the weekend. We can sit here and say they tried and, hey, they're doing their best. You have to get results. Guess what? The players on the ice, a large parts of last year tried. Was it good enough to make the playoffs?
No.
What matters isn't what you have to get results. At the end of the day, you have to get results. And the thing is, we're not even at July 1st yet. There's a lot of time left over the course of the offseason. What matters is, what team do you ice at the beginning of preseason, but more importantly, come the first day of the season? So you have time to shape your roster, but you're not really feeling confident about the team's direction until they do something meaningful. But to your point, I think most people, and I know there are people that want to see them do something aggressive and want to see them improve the team because they want to see the team be able to keep Quinn Hughes. But the worst thing you can do is make your situation worse.
Yes.
And if you have to wait for something better to come along, you have to wait for something better to come along. That's not to say that it excuses this, but it means, hey, maybe you don't get your answers today, but you have to get them at some point. But you still have time to get it done. You know, you're not at your due date quite yet, but they're going to have to take a risk somewhere or just wait for scraps. That's the thing. You can't. You're not going to land anybody unless you overpay via term or you overpay via assets.
Yeah.
The only thing you can do that's safe is pick up scraps and hope for the best. And that's what magic beans.
I mean, a lot of what we're talking about is magic beans. Some are more expensive magic beans than others.
Fair enough.
Would Granlund? Granlund's a good player, but I think he's a good player for a team like Dallas that's like ready to win now. Yeah. I don't think he's.
Well, he makes the Canucks better. Like, if you replace Suter with Granlund, your team's better.
Facts only, he would make the Canucks better. I can't dispute.
For how many years, though? He's 33. Let's say you sign him
for
4 or 5.
But better to what sense as well? Like, better to make you a wild card team? Like, you're fighting for a... I look at this team and I see them fighting for a wild card already. Okay, you sign Granlund, you have a higher probability of getting that wild card spot. That's it.
I don't disagree, because I look at it too. As you said, a guy in his 30s, you're giving a long contract to him, right? At the same time, the cap is going up, and you were never going to bridge the gap completely from this team being a team out of the playoffs last year to a Stanley Cup contender in one offseason. All you can do is get closer. And can you get close enough that you can convince Quinn to stay for the project until completion? And Granlund, how much closer does he get you? Let's say there's a bridge that's like 2K long. How far does Granlund get you? 500 meters? So you still have to do more. But
about as far as I can hit my driver.
Or however far you want to go. I think that's the way you would view it, but you still have to do more. This would be step one, and then throughout the course of the year, can you shift money around and make additions? Next offseason, before Quinn decides, can you make a big move because you save some assets? This project to keep Quinn is going to take more than one offseason.
Yeah.
But you have to do something this offseason to get you closer.
Mm-hmm.
How much closer? I don't know. Maybe it's a few yards. Maybe it's a few meters. Maybe it's not, you know, 500 meters. Maybe it's not 1K or whatever. But you have to get closer.
The thing is, like, Quinn's a smart enough guy, smart enough hockey guy to see, like, if we can see the desperation, he'll be able to see the desperation.
Yeah.
I don't think, I don't want to put words in his mouth or anything like that, but I can't imagine Quinn Hughes is going to get overly excited about the Canucks signing a 33-year-old center to a big contract. Like, I understand he'll knows it'll help right away and help somewhat for this year. But if he's going to sign long-term, he's also got to be able to see a long-term project that he can win even 3 to 5 years from now as well.
Yeah, so I don't disagree. I think long-term, I don't think you sign Granlund and Quinn's like, oh, I feel great about it. But I don't think he looks at it and says, meh. I think players that I don't think they care too much about what's going to happen a few years down the road, because who knows what's going to happen. And the other benefit here is if you're willing to spend to the cap, you are going to have an advantage in a couple of years. Right now, you might be capped out. It's going to be a little bit tight. Next year, the cap's going to go up more. The year after, it's going up even more. And then a year after that, it's going up exponentially more.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, the question is not going to be, do teams have cap space? The question is going to be, do teams have internal budgets to pay for players? And if you're actually willing to outspend your problems in the next few years, this is going to be the first time in league history outside of the non-cap era where you can outspend your problems. So how willing are you as an ownership group? How willing are you as a team to put money as being the factor that's going to get you players that other teams aren't going to get? So I think there is a way for you to make this work, but you really have to put your money where your mouth is.
Still sounds like staying patient seems the most prudent thing for the Canucks to do for the time.
I don't necessarily disagree.
I will give them credit. You know, like, they haven't done anything too crazy, right? They haven't given up Volander or even Lekkerimäki or DPD. They've been really hesitant to themselves, even saying, we're only doing this if we get a real transformative player.
Yeah.
And to that, they deserve some credit for that, because,
well, let's see what happens.
We like Marco Rossi, but to a point,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I do think they trade anybody if the deal is right.
Yes.
But none of the deals have been. Again, if the price to get Rossi is Vilander in a first, for instance, or maybe Vilander, whatever, maybe not else, not a first, what do you think the price is to get somebody even better?
Quite a bit more.
And that's where the other problem
lies. First plus Volander and probably a roster player.
Oh, better. Decent, or maybe another one of your prospects or whatever. So you have to piece it together. Noah Dobson went for two firsts and a good prospect.
Yeah.
A good young player. That's three pretty good assets. Two premium assets and one pretty good asset.
Yeah. Two top 20 picks and another good young player. So,
and Noah Dobson isn't even, you know, the upper echelon of defensemen quite yet. He's kind of like in that grouping or two below. He's really good. He's excellent, but he's not Quinn Hughes. Yeah. He's not Cale Makar. He's not in the Heiskanen range. Mm-hmm. Would you even, like, a guy like Harley might be slightly more refined at this stage. So that's a lot to pay for. You're not even getting the first tier player. And that was three first round pick value, essentially.
And as we've said, you know, there's very few avenues. There's very few players available. And that's continued to be the case. There are other teams around the league that are also stuck in this. We want to add something to our roster, but there's just not enough teams selling right now. Okay, so lots of texts coming in. We'll try to get to a few of those as the day goes on. Frank Saravalli is going to join us coming up. He did report earlier today that the Canucks and Thatcher Demko are closing in on an extension to keep the netminder, last year's Vezina runner-up, in Vancouver. So it hasn't been made official yet. Frank has reported it. There was lots of reports that things were moving in a good direction. You've even talked about how things were moving in a good direction. To me, like, it makes a lot of sense to do this, because you lock up one of the best goalie tandems in the league for the next number of years with an increasing load in the season with 84 games and a rising cap, where if they are combined around 10-ish% of the cap in a couple of years, you're not too worried about that, and you feel really comfortable about your stable of goalies moving forward.
Yeah, the hope is, I think, to have both guys announced tomorrow if they can get it done.
Garland and Demko?
I think the hope is if they can get that done by tomorrow. We'll see if they can. But obviously, there has been progress made over the past few days on both players. So
they can't officially sign it until
tomorrow anyways.
Tomorrow at 9 a.m.
I think if they do it tomorrow, that's a great sign, because that means they got it done before July 1st. And that shows you, you know, how well the whole both negotiations have gone.
I did see Demko is in town, or he was at least in Whistler playing Nick North by the looks of his Instagram.
I know last year they spent
a lot. It was an old picture.
I know last year Demko spent a lot of time in Vancouver too, yeah. And he talked a lot about how much he enjoyed it. And I think genuinely him and his family do enjoy being here. And I think same thing with Garland. And I think for young families and people that have good means, it's a really good place to live.
Yeah.
So I think family-wise, I can understand why Garland and Demko's family would love to stay in Vancouver.
Yeah.
You want to raise a family, you have means, you can be in far worse situations, yeah. You know? So I can totally understand the desire from the family standpoint for those guys. But that's going to be, with the Canucks, obviously not going to be able, we're sitting here and debating whether Granlund is prudent or not and some of these options, which means whatever the Canucks do, they're not going to change their forward group dramatically.
No.
So the only advantage this team's going to have, it's going to be its defense and its goaltending. So I think if you keep Demko and you have Lankinen, at least for next year, and you have both guys committed to and both guys can stay healthy, you might have the best tandem in the league. And having the best tandem in a top five defense group potentially, how much can that base carry the team? And, you know, I know there's a lot of pessimism about the forward group, but is that their best key forward? I know people may not like the low scoring, the low event hockey that might get played, but they might be one of the better teams at it.
It might be tough to watch at times, but you know what's fun watching? If the team is winning. So as long as you win, I think people will get over it, even if you are playing a low event style of hockey. Into the Canucks Central Roundup we go before Frank Saravalli joins us. Dev camp began today, so a lot of the players that were just drafted over the weekend are in Vancouver, have been at UBC, will be at UBC all week. Braden Coutts, Medvedev, Alexei mm-hmm. Medvedev was there as well today, their first two picks from the draft. And you know, it's obviously a lot of the players that were with Abbotsford aren't going to be there, but you know, the Canucks do, as I've talked about, they may not have a ton of blue chippers. They've added one in Coots here, but they do have a pretty deep prospect pool of guys that have NHL potential, just maybe not, you know, top of the roster potential.
So the barometer for success oftentimes is, do you get a player that can play 200 games? When you hear Shane talk about this, how many of the Canucks prospects will play 200 plus games?
That's a great question.
Probably quite a few.
Yeah.
Now, again, the question is going to be ceiling, but just from that 200 game mm-hmm. standpoint, I think they're going to have quite a few hits.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be seen as a success. And it is a success because that compared to nothing is a huge improvement. And guess what? I mean, even good drafting teams, most picks don't work out.
Yes.
Always fewer than, you know, we're talking about first round picks have like a 50-50 chance of working out. Then you're talking about anything outside the first round. So most picks don't work out. So if you get a guy to play 200 games, that's a success.
And they look like they've already drafted a couple of those in the last couple of years, whether it's DPD, Volander, and even Lekkerimäki. Looks like he'll have a pretty lengthy NHL career as well. They did also get some things done. We talked about Baines. He gets 2 years at $775,000. First year is a two-way. Then the second year of that contract will be a one-way contract, mm-hmm. Which means he'll get the full value of that, even if he is in the AHL.
And the thing with Baines, which is interesting, he is waiver eligible, mm-hmm. but because he has another year on his contract, that's a one-way deal. Whoever claims him is essentially on the hook for $1 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
So even if he gets waived, it makes it less likely he gets claimed.
So one way the Canucks are hoping to keep Baines in-house, even if he ends up starting next year in Abbotsford. Atu Ratu gets a two-year deal at $775,000 as well. Both years are one way on that one. I mean, we've talked about it. You know, if you stay patient, there's definitely a roster spot for Atu Ratu in September.
Yeah. The contract that I would have been intrigued by was a three-year deal with Ratu. Three-year, $3 million or something. Really make the bet early and see if you can do that. I know there's been some suggestion of going even bigger and longer. I just don't like that because you haven't seen anything from him yet. But I'm okay with 2 years. But it's going to be interesting to see Ratu next year. And to me, success for Ratu next year is just stay on the roster all year.
Yeah.
if they can feel like he can be here all year, whether it's him playing every day or not, then maybe he can get closer to being, you know, a player for them legitimately.
Max Sasson and Guillaume Brisebois is inevitable. Is still a Vancouver Canuck on another two-way contract, 1 year for Guillaume Brisebois. Nikita Tolopilo and Jet Wu were extended qualifying offers. Cole McWard, Tristan Nielsen, Ty Glover, and Christian Felton were not, and they will become unrestricted free agents. Coming up, Frank Saravalli is going to join us, our Monday insider, his preview of free agency and what else we can expect to come for the day and what he's heard on Thatcher Demko. Coverage of NHL Free Agency 2025 is brought to you by Homes by David L. Young of Dexter Realty. Here, there, everywhere. Visit homesbydavidlyoung.com. We'll have full coverage on Sports at 6:50 tomorrow, starting with Halford and Brough in the morning at 6 a.m. Sat and I on from 3 to 6 to wrap up signing season and NHL Free Agency 2025, brought to you by Homes by David L. Young of Dexter Realty. Frank Saravalli is next on Canuck Central. Keeping your powder dry, keep the powder dry and see what shakes loose. And I would be more impressed if the Canucks kept their powder dry.
Can they keep their powder dry, Reach?
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Bick Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.